Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I'll start as a pure scientist with some theoretical introduction. I've been deeply involved in the G8 and summit preparation on energy security in 2006, and I would like to quote one phrase from the declaration of G8. It says that we support diversification of energy supply, including diversification of transportation routes. And being a scientist and working rather for a rather long period on gas markets development, I can say that really, if you look at the evolution of all gas markets, we can observe one tendency, one trend, integration of gas transportation systems and development of new and new and new pipeline systems, which are integrated. And we are getting bigger and bigger integrated markets, starting from local markets, then national markets, and then now we can speak about transcontinental markets, for example, in the Northern America, and actually in 20 to 30 years we will speak about Eurasian gas transportation network. So there are many reasons for this development. And actually, it gives benefits both for suppliers and gas consumers. First of all, they have it provides bigger flexibility of gas supplies, and it is flexibility not only for consumers, but also for the producers. And you know that in gas business, which is very capital intensive, this dependency of producers and consumers, if they are linked only with one pipeline, it creates a possibility of opportunistic behavior from both sides. And therefore, this integration of gas network, its development, it makes gas market more similar to the oil market, where this problem of transportation and transportation costs is not as difficult as in gas markets. So I suppose that the more pipelines we have, the better it is both for producers and for consumers. And I would like to stress that actually, if we are speaking about Russian pipeline development, the first bypass, as it was said in the beginning of this session, the first bypass, it was Yamal-Europe pipeline. Actually, it was bypassing Ukraine. And now, speaking about new bypasses, Nord Stream, South Stream, I would like to propose you to look at this from a different angle. What is the goal of producers? To get to the most profitable market. Yeah? So if we are looking at the European market as a whole, what are the most attractive markets for suppliers? Actually, there are two fastest developing markets. First of all, it's Southern Europe, and you know that growth rates of gas consumption are the highest in Italy, in Spain, yeah, in Mediterranean countries. And secondly, the highest prices, we can see them in the Northwestern Europe. So if we look at the new projects, they are aimed at the most profitable markets, and this is the main commercial reason for their construction. And at the same time, if we are looking at the existing pipelines, you remember this table from the first presentation showing export capacity of the pipeline system. I would like to say that 130 BCM capacity through Ukraine do not exist anymore. It was, let's say, a projected capacity when these pipelines were built. But now, without any repair, without any investments in their development and their repair, this capacity is falling, and now it's not more than 100 BCM. And looking at what is going on in Ukraine, there are no investments still. You remember there was a discussion about so-called Russian-German-Ukrainian consortium to develop this grid, but it didn't happen, and still years are passing and no investments are coming into this infrastructure development. So anyway, there is a need not only to supply additional new volumes of gas, but also to somehow compensate this decline in the working capacity in Ukraine. And again, speaking about these new pipeline projects, actually, I hear two main arguments against them. First one is that they are too expensive. Usually everybody says that they are too expensive, therefore they are not economically efficient, therefore it's pure policy. Yeah? Logical chain is like this. But I would like to say, I'm working on this issue for a rather long time, and we are making estimates of costs development in oil and gas industry, especially in pipeline construction. It is the world trend that costs are increasing. And now if you take the latest projects of oil and gas pipelines, you will see that during the last 2 years, just 2 years, costs have doubled. And it's not a problem of any particular project. It's the problem of, let's say, world inflation of costs. So if you take any new project, it will be, it will seem to be much more expensive than any of the projects that were fulfilled 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Well, it's a new situation in the energy sector. And at the same time, you can see that price environment has changed. So at the market, gas price is much higher than 5-10 years ago. So all these projects, they are commercially profitable. And I suppose that this presentation of Nord Stream has shown it very well. So I don't think that we should concentrate on the costs of the projects, because all projects seem to be expensive now. And the second thing is that in many situations, these new projects, Nord Stream, South Stream, they are regarded as a threat to the energy security. Actually, I cannot understand how new transportation route can be a threat to anybody's energy security. It's not, if we are speaking about destroying some existing routes, then yes, I understand. But creating any new possibility to get energy resources, it can only increase energy security from any point of view. So I suppose that here probably we should speak about much more pragmatic thing. It is transit incomes of the countries which might be lost. Yes, I suppose that the biggest fear is this one. Again, probably some of you have seen CERA's Cambridge Energy Research Associates research, which was published this autumn on, it was called Making Gas Interdependence Work. Securing the Future, Making Gas Interdependence Work. And they've made some calculations on the transit fees that Russia is paying for its gas in Eastern Europe. Actually, these cost estimates are very impressive. If you look at them, you will see that transportation of Russian gas through Eastern Europe is even more expensive than transportation of this gas from Nadymportas area to the border. So you can imagine that we are speaking about really huge volumes of money. And, well, then let's speak about real problem, not about politics, not about energy security, but about looking for compromise about sharing or doing something with these transit payments. That's all. Thank you.